Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show and the Good Fortune Show. Today we are combining it because last time we had a person that we interviewed and we really did not touch upon any joyful manifestation subjects. So today we are going to combine joyful manifestation and good fortune. We're going to talk about money, we're going to talk about love. And many of the interesting things that happen around the world, and different streams of energy. I'm going to talk about something very positive, then I'm going to go down a little bit in energy and talk about something that it's not really negative, like it's not going to affect any one of us, but it at least brings to attention what happens when we connect to certain energies. So, good fortune is simply that. It's fortune and it has to be good. It just has to be good. People play around with these words a lot. They do. And they make it very convenient for them. They make it very convenient for themselves. And they contort and twist things around. And they try to make it suit them. Yes, the universe is designing a world for you, especially for you, because you are creating your world. And the universe is designing that for you. It's your designer, co-designer. But while designing this world, when a person designs this world for themselves, himself, herself, attention has to be put upon what it is that we're designing for ourselves. And then when we pay attention to that, we cannot blame other people. Why? Because we are the designers. And the universe is co-designing. So somebody who keeps on connecting to a wrong energy source would attract what's connected to that source. So if it's a source of chocolates, no, just to make it very simple to understand. If it's a source of chocolates, if it's a chocolate shop, it's going to give you chocolates. If it's a ring burgers, McDonald's, you're going to get what McDonald's gives you. If you go to an Italian restaurant, that's what you're going to get. And there is no point in going to the wrong place and expecting, well, you know, if you go to a burger place and a purely burger place and expect a whole bunch of Indian food, it's not going to happen. Unless it's McDonald's or Burger King in India. Then they change their recipes a little bit for Indian tastes. And I recently went to McDonald's. So when you go to McDonald's in India and you have their hash browns, it's just like they serve in the US. Just like they serve in the US. But if you go to Burger King and you have their hash browns, they've added a whole bunch of garlic to it and masala, Indian spices. Why would I want to have hash brown that tastes Indian? You know, it's not something I'm used to. I'm used to, first of all, hash browns from the US. And I'm hoping that if I'm having hash browns in India, it's going to taste the same. But no, they added a whole bunch of garlic to it and masala, garam masala. You know, masala, you've heard of it. Well, Indian spices. And they made it very spicy. A lot of red chili flakes going on there. Oh my God. I never went back to that Burger King again because they changed hash brown. And anybody who changes hash brown from the original way it's supposed to be is off my list. Okay, McDonald's is as close as I can get to regular hash browns. So some of the things that people do with food is good, and some of the people things that people do with food is not okay. Because I really don't want to taste indianized hash browns. Red chili powder, full. You can see the red chili flakes. And then a whole bunch of garlic in it. And first of all, I hardly eat garlic. And then a whole bunch of Indian spices in hash browns. What are they trying to do? They're trying to suit the taste buds of the people in India. And they're, hoping that by doing this, people, Indian people are going to come and buy this from them. Well, it doesn't suit me because I'm used to very Americanized hash browns, which just has some salt in it, basic salt. And you get the actual hash brown taste because I'm not somebody who's in favor of a whole bunch of spices and oil and garlic that covers up the taste of the basic food and vegetables that go into a product. But that's me, correct? There could be other people with different tastes. But then what happens is, this is a classic example of people twisting things, contorting things to suit themselves. And then they come up with something, and then they expect the universe. Okay, let's just say it this way. I'm just going directly into the example. Very recently, as of a couple of days ago, an Indian actress, a very famous Indian actress, very, very nice looking, very talented, she's been making a lot of tweets on Twitter. And saying things about terrorists. Now, if a person consistently does that, she's going to attract attention. And what is the energy stream she's flowing in? So she can't expect herself, she can't expect that she's going to put out tweets like this, keep thinking of these people and talking about them. And not expect attention from them. And that's exactly what happened to her very recently. And I was thinking, oh my God, please don't do this. Please don't do this because you are flowing in a particular energy that you're going to start attracting attention from. And that's what happened. I'm not saying she said wrong things or right things. I'm not making a judgment about what she said because I'm not politically inclined as such, and I'm not going into the right and wrong of what she said. But it's the energy stream that she's flowing and she's continuing to flow, and what is she going to attract as a result of that? If you want to go hardline, that's really hardline. I mean, from my understanding of hardline, I'm saying dealing with a subject that is going to take away from her beautiful status of being an actress, very well recognized, received a lot of awards, getting great movies. What is she doing? She's changing her energy stream into something else. But then I was checking out something else, and in another stone or change of subject. So that was a negative part. That was as negative as I got. But just to explain that you can't keep, even if she just thought about it and she kept thinking about it, and then what does it do? It makes you write about it, correct? It makes you take action. And when you take such action, at some point, you're going to attract the attention of somebody that you don't want to attract attention from. And so everybody here has to be very, very careful about what you're thinking about constantly. Because when you keep thinking about something, that energy flows to you and it's going to make you write. It's going to make you take action. Because energy is a living thing. It's living. It's alive. And if you think about it, then that particular stream of energy is going to come and then make you take action. And then a person will think, oh, I'm the one taking action. No, you're being made to take action. You're being made to take action. And then what happens when someone takes action? They don't even know why they're taking action. They're just made to take action by this particular energy stream. So they take action, and then, you know, they're going to invite the attention of somebody or the other, especially if you're famous, correct? So being very careful about your thoughts, because someone might think, oh, maybe Sugandhi is saying, she wrote it, she tweeted that, what is it? Tweeted that. And so maybe if we don't write about it and we don't make it public, but sooner or later, thinking about a subject constantly, or even with gaps, invites the attention of that particular stream of energy. It comes around that person, and then sooner or later makes them take action accordingly. So the people who are listening over here, you know, the Joyful Manifestation Show and the Good Fortune Show, we're great shows. And we want to bring good fortune to you, but we also want to caution you a little bit about things that people do that can get them into trouble. And knowing what it is that you're inviting to yourself. Now, I personally don't think of criminals and things like that. So, and you know, my acquaintance with drugs is just the word DRUT. I don't even know anything about it. I go to Mexico and then I stay there for a couple of months. And then I find out, oh, Mexico is supposed to be connected with drugs and the supply of drugs to US. Now, I've never thought about this subject, really never. You know, I was mostly acquainted with, in my reality, in my mind, with how great rice and beans are. And it matches a bit of our Indian food. And so when we miss Indian food, we can go to a Mexican restaurant and at least have something there that tastes a little bit similar. And this is a range of information that I kept my mind in, because I'm not going to be thinking bad things about countries, essentially. That's not my job to do that. I like to think of the good side. So when I went for a couple of months to Mexico, my visit was so good. Everyone I met was soft-spoken, extremely helpful, very cultured, and I took great delight in finding out or discovering how similar it is to India in so many ways. I never saw an incident that was negative, never. Everyone was so nice to me, just so, so nice. I made friends. And they're so well-spoken and so sweet. Their tones of voices, the way they address you. And I just had a great 2 months experience. I did not hear of anything that was negative. Never saw it. I came to Cancun. I, you know, rented a car and drove around. Coconut trees and all. I traveled 36 hours by bus overnight. And so it's not that I just, you know, stayed in my little bubble. I went around. I went into alleys. When I got my car, I went into places where, you know, people normally don't go as a tourist in Mexico. And I never saw anything negative, nothing. And so when I later on heard that this happened just two streets away from you in Cancun, and this happened, and this is happening, and that is happening, like, okay, what other reality is this that obviously has not touched me? And all I saw was beauty, well-spoken, cultured, beautiful, soft-spoken Mexicans. That's all I saw. So really, people are attracting different streams of energy where they are. And this is what I attracted. Beauty, beauty, and more beauty. Awesome. And, there was this weather, cold weather coming in, and I think Canada and US got a lot of snow. By the time it reached Mexico, it was water, beautiful rainwater. So I saw the good side. Whereas there are people who are attracting negative realities on, all this happened and that happened and all, like, where did it happen? I was right there. I was right there. And I was driving around. Went into some ferry that went to another place, drove my car into the ferry. Yeah, and the ferry took us across. So it's not that I just stayed in the hotel and, ignored the rest of Mexico. No, I went around driving and exploring, and I went into different places and absolutely fantastic experience that I had. But this is all going to show people that whatever energy stream you are in, whatever you think about, that is your reality. And the universe takes effort. The universe takes effort to provide you with the beauty that you're used to. So let's say we're used to beauty, correct? And we think of beauty all the time. And the people who think about beauty attract beauty. And people who are thinking about terrorists, they sooner or later they are forced to say something, put something out in the public, and then they start to attract the attention of that particular group, which I'm sure nobody here wants to attract. And I went to Mexico, and there were some other Americans who were there, and very good people, don't get me wrong. But they had some negative experiences, but they have a negative viewpoint of Mexico sometimes. I didn't have that. I didn't have that. From where I come from, India, there were street dogs, running around. And when I stay in America, I stay for like years at a time, like years. And for me, the street dogs running around and barking was beautiful. It was a wonder. And well, yeah, that looks like India. The dogs here, they're busy running around on the streets. And I know people think it's unsafe, but they're actually pretty well mannered and they get along with people. But they're free, they do what they want to do. They're not like house trained pet dogs that can't leave the home without a chain and all of these things. These dogs are all free. So there's a lot of freedom going on. And yes, you've got the good, you've got the not so good, but for me, all these things are delightful. It's so delightful to see Mexicans. They look a little bit like us anyway. So my particular experience of a country. And then I went to Turkey. Oh my God, what wonderful people. So beautiful, gorgeous looking. Really gorgeous looking and so polite. And so polite and so nice. I stayed there 3 weeks and had a fantastic experience. Whichever car I rented, to take me driving, I mean, to take me to different places and all the drivers, they all were so nice to me. Everybody was so nice. So, what are we seeing here? Good fortune. Good fortune. And then I went to Georgia, which is near Turkey. Again, I drove overnight by bus to this other country. And there I met this person who's a tour guide, and he took me around in his car. And he kept going into like the war aspects of Georgia, but I said, can we talk about something else? And then I ended up driving a boat on a lake. So even though Georgia has a lot of history of war, I shifted this man because he comes from an army background, turned tour guide. I shifted this man and took him into holiday and tourism, and we had a great time, of course. And my first time driving a boat on a big lake slash river, whatever it was. And it was really nice. You could just turn the boat around and come back, just like driving a car. That was my first experience. And I had a really, really good time, after which I went to Dubai. Super, super trip there too. And going into what is the stream of energy that we are attracting. And we can also shift people. If they're going on about a topic, we can shift them into the topic that we want. And why does this all matter? It all matters because this world can give us beauty and it can give us the opposite and several shades of gray in between. We choose what it is that we want to experience by virtue of our upbringing, our social standard, and how we train our minds and keep our minds. So, from childhood, always used to great family relationships, good food, good environment, everything, great school, private school, fantastic educational opportunities, just an amazing life. This is not to say that, oh, you need to suffer to be intelligent or suffer to be knowledgeable. It's not needed. You can choose your life thinking of it as a buffet from which we choose several items. And then going along this vein of thought is the fact that so many, because I'm Indian, of course, obviously I'm interested in people who are doing well, and then find out that a person becomes the Prime Minister of England, an Indian. Wow. And he along with his wife have a net worth which is higher than the King of England. So they're richer than the King of England. And he's an Indian, he married an Indian, and they together are richer than the King of England. And then you have the Google CEO, who is a Brahmin and who is Indian and doing really, really well. And people, they come from my culture, basically, same kind of genetic ancestry as a Google CEO. In people who cherish their birth and who cherish who they are, they carry within them a flame, a spark. They carry within them good fortune. And they go out there, and it could be good fortune in different areas. It could be relationship, it could be money, it could be a person's lifestyle. They carry within them all of these things and family, and they could be really fortunate in one or more of these items and maybe all of them. But as they carry within them the pride of who they are, they attract more of that. And now I'm not saying that you have to be the CEO of Google or you have to be this or you have to be that to be fortunate. For instance, I watch a little small YouTube video about African tribal warriors. And it's so amazing their athletic abilities. They're able to jump into the air 3 feet, they just kind of spring up and down. And they're carrying arrows and spears, like they did centuries ago, many years ago. And, people in the world would say, oh my God, you're so backwards and not backwards, they're so backward. And this is a third world country and third world people. And, according to me, that's just judgment. And I'll explain why. Some parts of the world decided to industrialize and develop itself in that particular way. There are some parts of the world who liked their culture, who wanted to remain the way it was. It doesn't make them any less than a very highly developed modern country. They're doing what all of us, all around the world, every country did this many years ago. You know, the spears and warrior tribes and warriors. They're just continuing to preserve, or they're just continuing to be the way they are. Maybe they like to be the way they are. And for them, that's good fortune. And I was watching this video. My God, I was so full of admiration for them. That is so beautiful because it's just, it's as if time stood still there. And they continue to be the way people actually were. Everybody was like that. People were like that before. And they're just continuing to maintain their traditions. It's an absolutely beautiful sight. Because why does every country have to be the same? Correct? But that doesn't make them less, or that doesn't make somebody else more. It's just different aspects. And everyone was the same before. Everybody carried spears at some point. And were warriors, not soldiers. And warriors are the truth, not soldiers. Warriors are the truth, but not soldiers. And these people retain who they are. And for them, that's good fortune. For them, that's good fortune. And for people who are viewing it, it's also good fortune because to be able to appreciate that. And to not think that just because one country or parts of that country, I'm not saying the whole country is like that, or the whole continent is like that, but parts of a continent, parts of a country, if it continues to remain the way it always was, it does not make them less fortunate. It still continues to preserve their good fortune. And one can see all this when people get out of their little worlds where somebody's supposed to be extremely industrialized. And they go out, and whether you're watching it through internet or whether one is traveling and is able to see places authentically the way it was, but at least a shadow of the way it was, and be able to see that this is the same world, it's one planet, but different aspects. But that doesn't make one place less and one place more. And it just means that different people chose to preserve their good fortune and their identity the way they want to preserve it. And then what happens as a result of that? As a result of that, we carry the pride of who we are. And here I'm using pride in a very nice way because it's okay to be proud of our origins. And you know, in Italy, they're selling castles for €1. Really, really cheap. But why are they doing that? Because these castles need people to take care of them and develop tourism. Of course, then you have all these reviews where they're trying to talk negatively about Italy and how Italy is in a slump, blah, blah, blah. People like to talk negatively about things. But what about the beauty of Italy? What about the people? What about the gorgeous landscapes and these gorgeous castles? And if I saw that there's beauty in this and people don't have to keep criticizing Italy, and just understand that different countries are different. They're trying to preserve their culture. They're trying to keep things, you know, the way they were. And they're a unique set of people. And everybody doesn't have to be the same around the world. Which comes to money, we're taking it into money, and we're saying that money is an energy that is given to people to take care of whatever it is that they are creating in their life. So if we want to buy some castles and renovate them and make a city productive, villages in Italy productive, ask the universe. The universe will give it to you. Whatever you ask for, whatever you intend, if you want to start some particular industry, ask the universe for money and it'll give it to you. There is only one source, ultimately, that we need to ask. And whatever we ask, we will get. So my cousin, he bought 30 acres of farmland. 30 acres of farmland. And he is growing coconut trees and paddy and all of these things. And he was very much into construction before, and now he's into greenery and nature, agriculture, all of these things. He asked for the money, and the universe gave him the money to buy farmland with. So it is almost like one goes to source, and source is a bank. One puts one's requisition there, and source kind of looks at the business proposal and says, okay, granted, here, take it. He got his money. He got the money to buy the farmlands with. And now he, you know, he's not only a chartered accountant, he is the trustee of a temple there. So all the jewels are given to him, and these deities, they wear real jewels. So they're all given to him to store. And he is also owner of farms and is into agriculture and nature, beauty, greenery, all around. When I'm in Vegas and I see all the brown hills, it makes me want to go into nature. It does. You know, you can spend some time in Vegas, but then you want to see the greenery. So I would keep driving into Flagstaff. I would keep driving there and going towards where there is greenery. And after a point, after you drive 100 or so miles, I think, out of Vegas, you get into the greenery. And I would keep driving there and going through the trees. And then it would give me the ability to come back to Vegas and then see the brown mountains again, all around, mountains, hills, whatever they are. There's also a lake over there that I would travel to. And then what happened, because of that extreme interest, which I always had in greenery, I just attracted huge forests and animals and things like that. I just got more and more of that, more and more of that. I still had the Las Vegas energy with me, but I also had this huge abundance. And then what happens? You get the support of all the gods and deities who are in charge of all the forests. And I was just driving down this road, which has become very busy, that we always drive down. And they've built a huge elephant crossing over this road. I'm like, what is this bridge? It's huge. It's a huge, very, very broad bridge. And I'm like, why do they have a bridge like this? And then it's written there, elephant crossing. And, you know, cross signs on trumpet, meaning don't blow your horn. Don't make sounds. Indians like to make a lot of sound when they're driving. They keep blowing their horns. And so this huge elephant crossing has been built because this road cut into the mountain, the hillsides, where there are trees. and seems to be that wildlife exists there because I've seen their, tiger cross, leopard crossing. And then now they've built this huge, thick bridge, very broad, with high walls so that elephants can cross. How considerate is that? That's absolutely wonderful because ultimately it's nature that is supporting our world. And a lot of tribals and a lot of these people that people think that are not, people think that they're third world, but they're tribals and they actually live with nature and they're actually doing everybody a favor by remaining the way they are. I'm not saying they need to remain the way they are, but a lot of people are doing the world a favor by retaining their culture. Because a lot of modernization, industrialization goes towards making the world like New York City, just concrete, correct? So we have to thank a lot of the people who actually work with nature and who retain their ancient lifestyles, their old lifestyles, because they're actually supporting the world. I'm sure people will think of something negative out of that, and I'm sure of that, but it's okay to do that. But a lot of appreciation goes towards the people who are actually living their ancient lives, who are satisfied with what they have, and then they continue to retain it because they are doing the world a favor. They're all not becoming like New York City, completely cemented. At least Las Vegas was built in a desert anyway, so it's okay they were actually bringing greenery. But other people who are, not working with nature ultimately are depleting the good fortune that nature provides to them because there are sources of energy and sources of good fortune all around the world, and people who don't seem so advanced are actually doing the whole world a favor by retaining the original beauty of the world. And we were saying, coming back to money, a lot of people who are very interested in just money, making money, making money. And of course, I'm not saying they don't have other interests, like Narayanamurthy, who has an excess of 4. Something billion US dollars, 4.8 or something billion US dollars. His daughter is supposed to be the richest in England, supposed to be. And she's married to the current Prime Minister of UK, United Kingdom, who is an Indian. So money attracts money. Money attracts power. And as people try to understand that there's something where our particular good fortune energy that we carry takes us naturally to other good fortune streams of energy and brings and connects different streams of energy that are streams of good fortune, and they all connect together, creating a particular energy machine. So we basically create an energy machine that works by itself. So in the beginning, there is some effort put towards this energy machine, and then it starts to work by itself. It just starts to generate more and more energy. People who are creating careers, they have to know what it is that they're lending their attention to, or what it is that they're accumulating in their aura. Because they kind of create an energy machine that operates for them. Even when they're sleeping, it's operating. Everybody's creating his or her own energy machine, energy system that is operating for them and attracts to them more of the same. So, going back to our drawing board, going back to the basics and saying, when one takes stock of where one is. And we go back to the basics, and we're looking at it and saying, okay, I'm here right now. So we put a cross, check mark, where are we? And then backtrack. Because when we see where we are and what we're attracting and what is part of our lives, we can backtrack and see what is it that started this. And then go and fix things for ourselves. So if somebody's basically thinking only of terrorists and then attracting energy of that, because, you know, I told you that energy makes that person act in certain ways that is ultimately going to get them consequences. Or if one is thinking of money and trying to do things to make more money, one puts into place an energy system that brings more of that. Or when one is thinking of nature and loves nature, then more and more trips to such places will happen because there's an energy system doing that, in place for that, creating that. If one likes glamour, one can create that. Here's the thing. Ultimately, we're the mind that is thinking things for us, and we're projecting into space. And here, whatever it is that we pay attention to, we will attract. And we will create an energy system that continues to churn out that particular stream of energy. And if one does not want that, one goes back to one's drawing board and checks, oh, me, where did I start? How did I start? And what have I attracted? And we go back and we see, we revisit. And we can correct our course. And in this way, what happens is we invite more streams of energy of a certain type. And we're setting into place a mechanism that will continue to operate even while we sleep. That will continue to operate for us even while we turn our attention to something else. And that brings back more of the same. Now it's up to each person to take stock. Okay, did I drift backwards? Am I going forward? And then from here, where do I want to go? What is it that I want to further include in my life? What are the streams of energy shall I bring into it? In what direction shall I take it? And we all decide for ourselves, are we attracting good fortune? Is this what I really want? And we go forward and we create more of the same if we like what we're attracting. Or we make a change in our course. And just like olden days, the ships, they had a course, right? And if they were off course, they had to come back on course and rechart how they're going to travel. And for people who started with a very good intention of wanting to be a leader of a country, but then they find that the country is not giving them what they really wanted, they need to rechart and redraw and go back to planning who they were first and who they became, what they're attracting by virtue of the choices that they have made. So then each person becomes responsible for their own choice. And when you take responsibility, Responsibility is power. When you take responsibility for yourself, like, oh, it's me, I did it, I chose this. Responsibility is power. Because then we go back to the drawing board, and then we can, by taking responsibility for where we are, make decisions accordingly as to how we are going and what we are attracting as a result. As I was saying, that for those people who kept on going down a particular path, and then they attracted more of that and more of that and more of that. So a person who starts a company, and he's very focused, he plans everything carefully, and he's making money. He will very naturally grow that company or start a new one, and then branches and branches and branches. Of that, the money starts to multiply in his bank account or several bank accounts. It starts to multiply and attracts more of the same to him. Which is why when people, they like to say, oh, you know, rich people get richer, poor people get poorer. Even in that, a poor person can restart his journey, go back to the drawing board, and see what it is that created it. Okay, family, upbringing, birth situation. And then taking responsibility. Of course, nobody is responsible for their birth as such, except what they say, past karma. But take responsibility, and by taking responsibility, fictitious John could pretty much rechart his course. And if he wants to be a person who wants to attract more money, he can start with $5. And then with that $5, attract more, with that attract more, with that attract more. And even though he's starting really small, with $5. That $5 basically gets energized because his focus is on money. He's energizing that $5. It starts to attract more of its own nature because think of it being a seed and then it's taking root and then growing. Basically attracting, or a little grain of sand that, you know, keeps gathering more sand around it. Or what is it, rolling snowball? It keeps rolling down, it gathers more snow, becomes larger and larger. So a $5 note that is energized. And we can all do this today. Take a $5 note, or in whichever country you are, even if it's a pound, it doesn't matter what it is. Take it and place it in a place that you feel good about. An altar, a place in your home that is special and not open to the eyes of everybody. Put the $5 in and say, I energize you to grow. And this is your intention for going towards more money. You're energizing that particular node to gather more money to you. And it's basically showing the universe that you're going to be focusing on money. And are going to very soon be in the stream of money. And you start, no matter how small you start, because a lot of these people who grew really, really rich, many people started with a very small amount. And they became enormously rich because they kept energizing that amount that they started with. They put energy, they put thought behind it, it grew, it grew, it grew. And you can do the same for any project that you have. Energize it. But put it somewhere where people don't keep seeing it and commenting upon it, because you want your own intention on it, not everybody's intentions, because not everybody supports a person's well-being. Our show is here to support your well-being, the Joyful Manifestation Show and the Good Fortune Show. And we want to support you, and we want you to support us. So do subscribe. It's $2.99 a month. It's not much, and you can support our show and support yourself too. Get that first initial amount going and energize it and give it power to grow by itself. Think of it as a child, and it's going to grow and it's going to become stronger and going to attract more of the same and going to make you really, really rich. Because today we did speak about some people who are doing really, really well. They had a great birth, they grew up really well, they educated themselves, they put power behind themselves, and they became people who are really rich and powerful in a good way. And so we want this for everybody here. We want you to have your own power story. We want you to know that you can create your own power story, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's absolutely nothing wrong in putting energy behind yourself and your projects. This is Sugandhi Iyer. We're at the end of our show today. We're going to sign off soon, but we want to invite you to join us again for the Joyful Manifestation Show next week. Today was a kind of combination show. And next week we have the Joyful Manifestation Show, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So until then, I want to wish you a fantastic rest of the week and a fantastic rest of the day.